Hi, friends. You're listening to WMUC FM College Park, and I'll be right back after a quick message.
Ever wonder why you feel like a complete zombie when your alarm goes off after 8 hours, if you're even lucky enough to get that much sleep? As college students, it feels almost impossible for us to get enough sleep. We're constantly told to get 8 hours, but is that really the magic number? Did you know that throughout the night, your body cycles through periods of light sleep and very deep sleep? Most people's sleep cycles tend to last 90 minutes, so if you aim for 8 hours, your alarm is likely to go off just as you're diving into deeper sleep. Try aiming for 7.5 hours of sleep and see how you feel in the morning. If you feel great, you probably nailed it and found your sleep cycle. If you don't feel perfect just yet, test out an 85 or 95 minute sleep cycle instead. Not only will you feel great in the mornings once you discover your magic number, you'll also add about 30 minutes of valuable time to your day.
Is a home, even when it's dark, even when the grass is overgrown in the yard, even when the dog is too old to bark, and when you're sitting at the table trying not to start. A house is a home, even when we've all been gone, even when you're there alone. You gotta run from the ones who love you most. Screen doors, broken paints peeling from the wood. Locals whisper when they're gonna leave the neighborhood. A house is a home, even when we've up and gone, even when you're there alone. Chores are never done, where you spend your whole life running to and from. And if the life that you live is not the life you choose, make your child a home and start anew. A house is a home, even when we've up and gone, even when you're there alone.
That was A House is a Home by Ben Harper and Ellen Harper. Hi, guys. Happy Tuesday. I do this so often. I was about to say you're listening to WMUC, blah, 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 blah. I've said it so many times that, like, it just comes out like word vomit. Happy Tuesday. Radio Kill the Video Star. This is the show where I talk about music videos. Because I'm really obsessed with them. I was gonna talk about some music videos today. I don't know, I still might. I'm just, you know, classes are ramping up. Things are getting hard, guys. This is a very, like, I think I am at a very stressful time right now, this week into next week. I'm an architecture major once again, so that means that I don't really have finals. I just have projects due, and they're always due the week before finals. So that's next week. And so everything is due next week. Like, everything is, it's all coming together, which means that I get no sleep this week. I'm exhausted. But it is what it is, you know? I'm doing the best that I can, as is everybody else. So I plan to talk about Green Day today. I don't know if I necessarily plan to talk about them. Like, I just kind of decided. I was like, let's talk about Green Day. And I don't think I want to talk about Green Day now that I think about it, because I don't need, like, very intense music. Not to say that Green Day is intense music, but, like, I don't need any rock music really right now. I don't think, because of how like tightly wound I am. I was like, I should play some Green Day and then some Limp Bizkit. Why would I do that if I like feel very on edge? Like, why would that be smart? It would just contribute to my anxiety. Me just making things worse for myself. So that's why I played that chill song, because I love that song. I don't really know much about Ben Harper. I looked into him the other day because I was like, who is this artist? And he's really like, I don't know. He just seems like a chill, make music just to make music kind of guy. You know, like, he has a song with that other guy, who's like that. What's his name? Jack Johnson. He has an album with Jack Johnson. But yeah, he's like that. Wait, oh my gosh. I didn't know he was on this other album. Look at him. I gotta get into Ben Harper. I also really like his voice. It's just it's so calming. It's so relaxing. So yeah, I enjoy listening to some Ben Harper. It's getting hard out here, guys. It's hard times for everybody, you know, navigating the whole job market thing. If you are looking for a job, then like, you know how hard it is right now. Everybody is poor. We are broke, guys. Last night, I had a vitamin as a snack. And an hour, not even an hour ago, maybe like 30 minutes ago, I ate a stale croissant out of the bottom of my bag. Yeah, that happened. It just is what it is. Like, it's hard times, guys. And it gets like this all the time towards the end of the semester for me. I'm nervous for a situation where I won't have money. Like, I could be spending money on food. I could. But, like, I'm just so nervous that I won't have money and I need money. Like, I need that to live, guys. So, yeah, I had a vitamin as a snack. I just thought that was funny. Okay. So I'm going to play another song and I'm going to watch the music video for it. And if I like it, I'll talk about the music video. And if I don't like it, then I won't talk about the music video. And maybe I'll do that for the rest of the songs that I talk about today. But I have a feeling that, I'm going to like this one considering how popular this song is. This is With or Without You by U2.
Shore, you gave it all, but I want more.
That was With or Without You by U2. And I'm sorry, and I'm talking about you. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. I've done this so many times that I have like a script in my head that I just read. That is insane. Wow. You guys know the book, The Body Keeps the Score? I've never read it, but I feel like that's something that would be in that book. Because that was like... That was like a reflex. That's so weird. Like, it just came out. Wow, that's the second time I've done that today. On this show. So I watched that music video for the first time. What I was going to say is I'm talking about music videos until 8 o'clock, but I was going to say that I'm talking about U2's music videos until 8 o'clock. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Cause I'm just doing some random music videos today. Cause why not? This is fun. I kind of like doing it without a, I don't know. I like the randomness of this. That music video was pretty straightforward. I'm surprised I haven't seen it before. Like, obviously I didn't expect much to it considering how long ago this came out, but I think there's something that is very, like, cool about this music video, and it's what drew me to it, which was the thumbnail for it. The thumbnail for it on YouTube. The entire video is just... Hang on. I want to make sure... I gotta Google something really quickly. Okay, yeah. I'm not going to tell you guys what I Googled. Because you're going to be like, are you dumb? No. The entire music video is just U2 and Bono being on this roof of a building. And they are performing the song in the most melodramatic way possible. It's nighttime. They're surrounded by this, like, hue of light on them, and that's really it. Like, they're just the ones glowing on this roof. And then the only other thing that happens in this music video is that it kind of cuts at times to more intimate shots of the band where they're in a very, very dark room, and it's kind of like somebody's walking around with a flashlight, you know, like in a movie, if you're walking around, like a horror movie, if you're walking around in like a dark space with a flashlight and like it only illuminates their face every like 5 seconds, you know, like as you shine a light on something. That's kind of what the music video is like, aside from the shot of them on the roof. And that's the entire music video. But I think the thing that makes this music video so cool is the presence, I guess, and glow of Bono and the rest of the band, which is what I saw in the thumbnail, which I thought looked crazy cool. Because it starts with him, and he's got this guitar slinged on his back, and he's in his cool little outfit. He's got a vest on, and his hair is slicked back into a ponytail, and he's looking down at the ground, and it's a very heroic kind of stance. I mean, he doesn't have his hands on his hips, and he's not, you know, like, looking up at the sky. But something about it is very, it's the fact that he's glowing in the nighttime over the city, and he's just looking down on it. I don't know what it is about that, but it makes you want to click on it. And I did click on it. I did play this music video. But the rest of the music video doesn't really buy into that as much. It's just kind of normal, you know? It's just a band performing. But I think that the band does a very good job of expressing the feeling of longing, as this song is supposed to do. Like, the only really cool thing about this music video is the way that they are carrying themselves with the emotional content of the song, which is something that you don't really see a lot in music videos, I feel. For instance, in a more normal music video, I would say you'd see a lot of storytelling, and it's very like by the book. This is what the song is about, and this is what's going to happen in the music video. If the song is about a breakup, you're going to see a breakup happen in the music video. He's not doing that, though, in this music video. We're not seeing U2 show a breakup happening in a video. They're just expressing the feeling of of longing for someone just by them singing and glancing at the camera every now and again. If anybody has seen the video of you two performing this song With or Without You live and on stage, it's the video kind of reminds me of that feeling where they're so into the music and they're saying the phrase, I can't live with or without you repeatedly. And it's just like, it's being chiseled into your brain along with this sad demeanor that the entire band has. And I feel like that is enough. And that's why it comes across so strongly. I mean, it's not my favorite music video of all time. And every U2 performance isn't my favorite either. Like, I'm not a U2 fan like that. But they express emotion in a way that I have not really seen before in a band. This person left a comment on YouTube. I'm going to read it. Let's see what it says. They said, I've never been a U2 fan. Same. But my mom passed away last Sunday from a massive stroke. We were playing the song from her phone for her bedside at the hospital because she liked it on her Spotify playlist. Now, as I hear this, I just tear up and miss her dearly. It's a beautiful song. If your mom is still around, give her a giant hug because there will be a time where you won't be able to again. Not where I thought that comment was going, but it's a nice comment nonetheless. How can a song, this person commented, bring joy, a sense of haunting maybe? A sense of sadness and a sense of contemplation all at the same time. U2 does it with this song. That's a great, yeah, I think that's a nice way to put it. Contemplation is the big word here. With or without you, it is a thought process, saying that you can't live with or without somebody and then just like repeating that phrase the entire time. A lot of the song is just the same phrases being said again and again. Like when he goes and you give yourself away and you give and you give and you give, it's like, he's just saying a few sentences, and that's really all that you need to hear. And you get that from a lot of U2 songs, too. Like Beautiful Day, for instance. It's a beautiful day. Don't let it get away. That's all you need to know. That's crazy. I'm kind of just, like, realizing this and how strongly it comes across. And why is that? It's a very interesting thing. I mean, a lot of my favorite artists are just... They are storytellers and they need like 1,000 words. U2 only needs like 2 words, maybe even 1. And I'm looking at their music video for 1. Maybe this episode going to be about U2? Because now I feel like I need to play it. This might be what this episode is turning into. I'm curious. Let's see where this goes. This is One by U2.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you? Got someone to blame. You say one love, one life, when it's one need in the night. One love, we get to share it. Leaves you, baby, if you don't care for it. One, but we're not the same. We get to Have you come here to play Jesus? To the lepers in your head? Did I ask too much? More than a lot? You gave me nothing, now it's all I got. We're one, but we're not the same. Well, we hurt each other now.
That was One by U2. And I guess I'm talking about U2 music videos until 8 o'clock today. I didn't want to commit to it, but now I am. Because I like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm watching. I really liked that video also. Wow, that was good. I forget how good that song is. Because what I was talking about before I played that song was how U2 does a great job of expressing the feeling of something by using very few words. And I think that One does a great job of explaining it. Half the words in the song are one. Half the words in the song are one. And I mean, you can read it all in Bono's face. So there is something interesting about U2 music videos, and it's the same thing that I said before, which is this: you don't need all the production, you don't need all the storytelling to express the feeling of what the song is supposed to be saying. The music video is a lot more poetic than other music videos. Half of the video is Bono sitting in a restaurant and he's got this beer glass on the table. He's got a shot glass next to him. It's a dim restaurant. It kind of looks like something for young people. He's in a suit. He's in a black shirt. And he was smoking a cigarette and he's kind of just like, it feels he's telling the story of his life. But he's not, you know? It's just, it reminds you of like that kind of scene in a movie where somebody is like, let me tell you a story. Like that kind of thing. That's what you're getting from this. And when it's not that part of the music video, the rest of the song, I mean, and when it's not, yeah, when it's not that part of the music video, the rest of the video is shots of life and nightlife and being with other people and U2 as a band, who they are. We can all understand the message of this song. One, it's all about being unified as a people. It's It's a song that's been used for unity purposes for a long time, and I'm pretty sure it has a religious point as well. Let me actually Google that before I start saying that. Let's see. What does Google say? What is this? AmericanSongwriter.com. This says that One brought the band back together. And I quote, working one evening at Hansa Studios, ground zero for David Bowie's groundbreaking work with Eno in the 1970s, The Edge began composing a bridge for the song that later became Ultraviolet. He banged out some minor chords on piano, then came up with major key resolution. When he switched over to acoustic guitar and starting playing the sections back to back, a new song was born. Within minutes, the framework for One was complete. On an album filled with irony, sex, and self-deprecation, One cuts through to the heart of a relationship. Each verse poses new questions. Is it getting better? Did I disappoint you? Have you come here for forgiveness? Without offering any answers in return. Keeping things deliberately vague, Bono lobs his inquiries into thin air, aiming them at his band, his spouse, The Edge's estranged wife, or maybe even none of the above. The addresses don't matter. One isn't about love, after all. It's about resignation. The song's a bit twisted, Bono revealed. He said, which is why I could never figure out why people want it at their weddings. I have certainly met 100 people who've had it at their weddings, and I tell them, are you mad? It's about splitting up. Is it now? Is it? I watched like a whole concert once, and they were like, this song is supposed to be, it's supposed to be about unity, right? But what about the whole part where he's like, sisters, brothers? Is that song not about how we're all sisters and brothers? Like, I'm confused now then. How is it about a relationship? This one says it's about the differences that keep us separate. To the outside world, U2 was triumphant at the end of the 1980s. This says the band wrapped up with Joshua Tree, blah, 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 blah. Change of scenery, new sound. This is the same article. I'm reading the same article, guys. I accidentally ended up reading the same article. I don't get it. Or maybe it's about both. Is that possible? Can you write a breakup song that's also about unifying the world? Because, this BBC article says why U2's One is the ultimate anthem. It is an anthem. I'm not crazy. One of the greatest songs that's ever been written. I put the song on and just broke down crying, this person says. Oh, Axl Rose said that from Guns N' Roses. You know, another thing that's really cool about that song is that a lot of it doesn't rhyme. Let me see if I... Like, and they made that work. Come on. Give me the lyrics. Is it getting better or do you feel the same? Will I make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. But like, yes, it rhymes, guys. It obviously rhymes. But like, when he says these lines one after the other, it's just like, he's just talking. And it doesn't really read as rhyming until, you know, of course he gets to the rhyme. But it doesn't read as rhyming. For a few verses, not for the, you know, whole one love, one life, like one me in the night. We got that part. That's the whole like rhyming part. I feel like I need to find something that explains the fact that this is what brought, that this song is an anthem. This says, the quote emerged from an exchange between Bono and the Dalai Lama, who invited U2 to contribute to a benefit concert called Oneness. Maybe that's what I watched. I don't know if I did. He said that he declined. Why did he... Okay, I guess I didn't watch that concert. Like, is there anything that supports my claim here? I know I'm not crazy. Bono is singing from the state of exhaustion that marks the final stage of an epic argument when so many accusations have been hurled and grievances voiced that it is impossible to tell whether the participants have cleared the air to try again or decided that there is no way back. A song so full of disappointment, anger, pain, and blame cannot be resolved by a simple cry of one love. You know, maybe the fact is that it's just a complicated freaking song. Or maybe it's the interpretation that people have taken away from the song more than the fact that the song is about the end of a relationship. It says Bono initially resisted naming the One campaign, the nonprofit he co-founded to fight extreme poverty and preventable disease, after this very bitter song. Nonetheless, it has become a popular choice for the benefit concert in Tibet. Later, it came to encompass the human catastrophe of Katrina. So that's interesting. It seems that the song is a breakup song, but it had eventually been used for describing oneness in the world. That was a whole tangent from me going off of this music video. Let's circle back to the music video. And it's crazy because I didn't get that feeling from the music video, but I guess you can interpret it both ways, the relationship aspect of it and then the band and then the worldly aspect of it. What is so cool about this music video and something that I really like, and like this music video, it made me want to cry. It's just the way that it's shot. It is shot very, very beautifully. Like the parts where he's sitting at the table and he's smoking his cigarette and he's putting it out on this cluttered, messy table of empty liquor glasses. It's high quality. It looks good. And then the rest of the video, when we're looking at shots of the band and shots of people out in the world and this one girl, are lower quality. They're memories. He's recalling something. And it's done very, very nicely. The camera looks intimately at him. And he looks very intimately back at it. It zooms in on his face at times, but then it gives him enough distance for a second so he can look down and he can really think over what he has to say before he says it. Because, you know, he's asking these questions. He's like, did you come here for forgiveness? And as he says it, it lays on the table and the camera waits for him to answer. And then it plays the memories of an occurrence. So it's definitely for the music video was definitely made for the intention of representing a breakup. But then the rest of the music video is other parts of the music video can be interpreted to understand betterness in the world from, you know, what the song is about, with the song being called One. Because like we get shots of the band and they're enjoying the limelight. They're enjoying performing. And I think that that's something that can be interpreted as like wanting to unify the world. That's how I took that part away. And then just like another really cool thing that I like about these music videos is that Bono is a good actor. I don't know if he's acting necessarily. Maybe he's just like, he really feels his music, but it carries, and it carries very, very strongly. Even though these music videos aren't directly storytelling, his face is at all times. I mean, he says a line and he asks a question to the camera and then he looks down and he like wipes his brow and puts out his cigarette. And it feels very real. It feels realistic. It feels like he actually feels these emotions. And I feel like he does because, I mean, the man, did he not write the song? And he talked about the fact that the song is about a breakup. And he's like, I've heard that people play this at their weddings. Like, this probably was a difficult song for him. It's all very curious. It's a curious thing. So before I continue with you two, or if I even continue with you two, I think it might be a nice time to take a little pause. Yeah, now is a nice time to take a little pause. This is All About Our Love by Sade.
after all this time, after all is said and done. We have seen some suffering, baby.
That was All About Our Love by Sade, and I'm going to keep this little party going with discussing some very chill music, discussing U2 specifically. So this is Where the Streets Have No Name. Thank you. That was Where the Streets Have No Name by U2. And I'm talking about U2 until 7 o'clock in their music videos. No, 7 o'clock. Jeez, every time I come back, I say something stupid. Until 8 o'clock, I'm talking about U2 for the next 12 minutes. Sort of. We'll cut it short. I'm talking about their music videos as well. You know, what sucks is that I couldn't hear part of this music video, so I can't do it justice. I wish that I could. I've said this problem before, but the YouTube here is stuck on Dutch for some reason, and I cannot figure out how to get it out of Dutch because I'm just like a child. So I'm sorry about that. There's like dialogue at parts of the video and I have no idea what they were saying because I look at the videos live. But I'm gonna look at what some of the comments say for this video. This one says remains one of the best music videos of all time. Someone commented a reply saying, oh, never mind. They were talking about the Beatles. Why are you talking about the Beatles on this? Does anybody else have a comment about the video? Okay, so, well, the music video, what's cool about this video is that it's a live performance from U2 on a roof in New York. And that's really it. And it's just cool because the amount of people that came out there to come see them is really, really cool. I think probably the discussion that was happening in the beginning of the video was like them talking to... Well, it's a discussion between them and the police. And I think that they're probably concerned about trying to do the video. Bono is so young in this video. So is the rest of the band. Everybody's so young. I mean, they all have these... This 80s garb on. I love calling stuff garb, even though it's not. I mean, garb is just a word that means, like, you know, apparel, I guess. But I think it's just funny that it's called garb because it sounds like trash, but it's not trash. It's actually cute. Like, it looks good. Let's see if I can find any other interesting comments. One of the best songs ever. This video was filmed on March 17th, 1987, they said. Wait, did I say 17th? March 27th. I don't know if I said 17th or 27th. It was formed on the 27th. And that person says, was an experience that I will treasure for as long as I live. Oh, they were there. Oh, these people were there. This is cool. Wait, this person commented, I was there too. I was 21 years old working on a billboard across the street, watching them get set up all morning. I didn't know who was going to play until they started. It was a great day. No one knew they were going to be playing, and the crowd just blew up. The police were trying to get them off the roof and had no way. Yeah, so that was what was happening. The band played the song 3 times by the time the police made their way. I got in this video when I came down off the billboard. I'm the kid in the white construction helmet. Ah! What? I'm the kid in the white construction helmet and the white beater. I'm in a shot by myself 3 quarters into the video. Wait, I need to find that. That is insane. Wait, where is that? That is the coolest thing. Wait, I mean, they seem like they're... I mean, everybody just is so placed in this video that it kind of just feels like they're actors, even though they're not. I mean, they're not. But they're just... The amount of footage that they got that just looks good and everybody is just, like, arranged. I don't know how else to say it. It looks good. This video ended up looking really, really good. And the fact that they just took it off the street. Now, he said that he was how far into the video? Like, I need to find this guy. He said 3 quarters into the video. Oh, okay. 3 quarters. I went 1 quarter in. And he's coming down off a billboard? That is the coolest thing. Imagine that you got to say that you were in a music video with U2 by accident because they were they decided to do a live performance, and this video has 25 million views on YouTube. I mean, not that it matters, but that is ridiculously cool. I wish that I could say that. Where is this guy? He said that he was I'm looking and I'm past 3 quarters. Why would he not just put a timestamp? Where are you? I'm making it my mission to find this guy climbing down off of a billboard. Maybe I need to do this later. This is not the time nor the place for me to be trying to look for a specific thing in a music video. Or I guess it is, because I guess that's my point. That's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing here. Oh, wait. I think I found it. Wait. Is that it? Wait. No, that's not it. That's not a billboard. That's just a liquor sign. This is a wicked... This is... sorry for using the word wicked, but this is a wicked cool music video. And the thing is, they show so many people watching from so many angles. There's like one person watching off a balcony, one person watching on the ground, another person in a room somewhere. Like everybody's just watching from anywhere that they can possibly watch. Oh, wait, was that him? Wait, go back. Hold on. Because I did see a guy at one point of the video where he's like standing on a roof. Oh, crap. It goes by so fast. There's so many shots of so many things in this music video. Like, honestly, blink and you'll miss it. Yeah, I missed it. I blinked and I freaking missed it. I don't know. I'm going to look for it later. This is insanely cool. I think that that's a really cool thing to have in a music video. I've never seen that before. Like, the way that U2 approaches music videos. It's very interesting. And I wonder if they were really popular on MTV at the time. Because I'm just so used to verbatim, you know, storytelling in music videos. If you're gonna make a music, if you're writing a song about a relationship in the video, you show a relationship. If you're writing a song about a place that you love, you show the place that you love. And YouTube doesn't even do that. This song is called Where the Streets Have No Name, and you'd think that the cities that they're showing in the music video, he's in New York, you would think that he's talking about a location in New York. He's not. Apparently, he was talking about somewhere in what? Oh my gosh, it's not even in New York. I'm crazy. I thought that New York looked a little crazy. Wait, hang on. Hang on, guys. I just need to make sure that I'm correct on things. Wait. Where was this? Oh, the song is about a place in Northern Ireland, he said. Okay, but the video wasn't in New York. I thought that it was in New York. It's in Los Angeles. Either way, I mean, I've never seen that before from music videos. Oh my gosh, wait, I think I see the guy. Let me stop. I'm going to stop. I'm going to wrap it up right here because I think that if I continue to go on, I'm just going to make it worse. I have an increased admiration for U2 and an increased admiration for Bono, who honestly looks great at every point of every single music video that I looked at. Like, he's aging with grace and he keeps, like, developing and adapting his style, which is something that just everybody needs to be doing. I mean, like, you cannot do the same thing forever. And it's like, he does have the same look, but it adapts. That's really, really cool. I mean, it looks freaking good. The music videos look good. Something is different about U2. Like, something. This is Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve. And I'm playing it on my way out. Please have a great rest of your week.
Down the only road I've change, I can change, I can change.